It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is another Victory Monday for the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, Eagles win over the stinking Cowboys, go to 7-2. Your thoughts, sir?
Victory!
We are at Cheeky's and Pete's in South Philly on Packer Ave. Brandon Graham Show coming up at 6 and the Players Lounge at 7. Special guest Jordan Mailata. First of all, Jack's going to have to start singing the song during the open with the win. He's going to have to start singing the song.
Well, sounded great.
He's going to have to start singing.
It's getting tougher each week for him to be enthused about the success the Eagles are having.
I know.
Even though he predicted they would go on a run right now.
He's disappointed they went.
It's about time someone called it.
Yeah, we have to turn him around at some point over the next week or two. So I came into the season, Ike, with the Eagles thinking that this is a year to build. They'd win 10 games. Maybe they win a playoff game, something like that. But my expectations have changed. You know, the last four games, they have essentially dominated every single one of those games. Even though the Jacksonville looked a little shaky, when you look at it at the end of the day, they dominated both sides of the ball there. They win a convincing game in Cincinnati. They win a convincing game on the road, division opponent against the Giants. And then they go down and they beat the hell out of the Cowboys, a team that they hadn't won, they hadn't beaten on the road in 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I just think with more information comes different expectations. And we're looking at a team right now that is the second in NFC odds to go to the Super Bowl. They're 7-2. They lead the NFC East halfway through the season. And I just think there is no reason for us not to look at this year and say that this year can and should be a year that we expect the Eagles to win the NFC. I know that we are young on defense, and I know that we have two young coordinators, but the truth of it is,
well, they're not young.
Well, new coordinators, yeah. Not young, rather, new coordinators. I know the truth of it is that, or rather, the truth of it is that you look at the talent they have on offense, mm-hmm. all in their prime, and you think to yourself, you are lucky, not lucky, but blessed if you get through a year with all those guys healthy and contributing like they can. And I don't know how many years Saquon Barkley has at this level. You know, I don't know how many years we're going to get through the year with him performing it this way, which is why you have to look at this year and say this year is a year that we can expect and not just hope. Every year goes in with a hope, and every year goes in with the same quote-unquote goal of Super Bowl. But I think the expectations for the Eagles this year should be Super Bowl. And I think that win yesterday is a big win. It's not just a win over a bad team. It's a win over a division opponent on the road. You know, like it's that is a – I'm not saying that they shouldn't have beaten the Cowboys, but they stomped the Cowboys. Like, they've stomped almost every opponent since the bye. And I think that they – that we have to put the focus on the team now and say, hey, this can be a year where they really get it done.
Well, I mean, it certainly feels like that's where the momentum is going with everyone. And I'm not surprised at that. You win five games in a row. You start to establish yourself as one of the teams that we need to watch out for. You know, they start looking around the NFC conference, and they're saying, okay, who are the teams that could potentially meet a Kansas City Chiefs or a Baltimore Ravens or a Buffalo Bills team in the Super Bowl? And a consensus is Detroit. We know Detroit was in the NFC championship game last year. San Francisco gets the respect because their reputation precedes them, but they don't look like they're one of the stronger teams in the NFC. And that's just right now. They may be much better as they get healthier when the season goes along.
And McCaffrey back.
Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey just played in his first game. So they can be a completely different team as the season goes along. And that's why I always say this thing is a marathon and not a sprint. The Eagles have put themselves in this conversation, rightfully so. You know, everybody, I've always been a win is a win guy, right? That's me. Take them as you can get them. But most people wanted to see convincing wins, and when you're playing inferior opponents, everybody wanted to see domination. Well, that's what they've shown you. If that's what you felt about the last five opponents, well, the Eagles have dominated those teams. That's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see them not squeak by inferior opponents, because I would have came in here every Monday and still sold you that a win is a win as long as they won the games. But you wouldn't have felt much better about the team. So since they've been dominating these teams, like a lot of people wanted them to do to prove their sort of ranking or being in that class with Detroit, they've done it. They've earned it. Now, you got 3 weeks coming up here.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah. So yeah, you got to keep updating your resume every week. You just do. You got Washington Thursday night. That's a big game. Then you got to go on the road for the Rams and Baltimore. Now, listen, we'll go to L.A. and we'll take over L.A. I love L.A. I won't be there personally, but I know Eagles fans
right,
will go out there and take over that stadium. I'm not worried about that. But then you got Baltimore. That's not going to be an easy game. Although, listen, they can't stop anybody. So that's a shootout. Take the over in that game when the Eagles play them. And then we get through that spike. We got a nice little stretch down. We got down the stretch.
A lot of home games.
A lot of home games. Two tough games. Pittsburgh at home, Washington on the road. Those will be two tough games after you get through this little stretch. If they can navigate this and be healthy at the end of the year, I want to see how everything else shakes out in the NFC. I mean, I said this last week. We could be the potential number one seed in the NFC based on what happens the second half of the season. But it's still a lot of football left to be played. They've earned their right to be in that Super Bowl conversation. That's where they're at, legitimately.
215-592-9494 is the new expectation for the Super Bowl. Is the new expectation for the Eagles this year Super Bowl? Jack, after yesterday's win, how are you feeling?
Good. Of course they're in the Super Bowl conversation. I mean, it's to say they're not, I feel like, is, you know, would be putting the haterade on, because there's no one in the NFC that's great. But yet, I don't leave yesterday wowed. I mean, they destroyed the Cowboys. The Cowboys also stink. I mean, Cooper Rush is horrible.
Well, that's
so,
really stunk yesterday.
I mean, he is atrocious. So I think if they didn't have the Cowboys name, you know, that was more of a faceless opponent, I feel like it's a little bit different of a reaction today, because I almost treated it like a faceless opponent. Like, that team was a dead team walking. You could tell by the first third and six when Saquon, they're already backpedaling. They didn't want to tackle yesterday. They didn't want to play football yesterday. So
hell, they did for a quarter and a half.
They gave them a little bit of a spurt, but I didn't see the Cowboys come out inspired to play yesterday. I
thought their defense showed up. They had got anything from that offense. We could have actually been losing at halftime.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Zeke fumbled right on the goal line.
Yeah.
It was brutal, and they gave the game away. But, yeah, they even the Lions, Jared Goff threw five picks last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, There's holes in all these teams. The Eagles are playing just as good as anyone. This next 3 weeks is going to be really interesting. I think the last the five opponents they've beaten, their record is 13-31. So, you know, it's obviously been not the best competition. These next 3 weeks will tell us a lot. So I'm there.
All right. 215-592-9494. Eagles Super Bowl expectations this year after the win over the Cowboys. Starting us off, as always, Corey in Columbus. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man. The expectation has always been Super Bowl. You know, this right here, this show is the greatest show in America, the greatest radio, you know, show in America, the afternoon show. You know, Spike, Ike, and Fritz, right? And
no,
you know,
no, that's Ike,
in,
Spike, and Fritz.
Yeah, get it right.
Your name right.
Right, right. So when you come in, you know, you got a lot of big personality. You know, Spike, big personality. Ike, big personality. You know, my man Fritz, he always got something to say, you know. So you got to learn each other, you know, figuring out, hey, Spike, you know, this what you do, this, you know. Oh, let's add this in there, you know, and not rush forward. We're going to keep the top five and five. Let's get rid of this, you know. So it takes time to build, you know, a dream team because the show was already great. You know, we were just adding a new face to make sure it stayed at the top of the mountain. And that's the same thing the Eagles was doing. You know, the Eagles was already a great football team. We had some ups and downs last year. You know, we had to get things figured out. The expectation was always Super Bowl. You know, everybody, you know, said whatever they wanted to say. They was afraid of Nick Sirianni, Herzog. Yeah, that was all for conversation. But the expectation ain't never changed. It's always been Super Bowl. And, you know, and now we finally hitting our stride. And we getting there. Commanders up next. We got to recreate the picture with Jalen Carter when he was holding. Remember when he was holding Jaden Daniels at LSU?
We got to
recreate that on Thursday.
Okay.
All right, Corey.
I like that.
You know, you can say the expectation's always Super Bowl, and I think the Eagles as an organization probably treat it that way.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's a difference. Even, Jack, the language that you used, I think there's a difference between in the conversation and being like truly, truly, truly in the conversation. I think you could probably say that there are five or six teams in the conversation in the NFC, right? You could say, obviously, Detroit and the Eagles and the Rams and the 49ers and Washington. Who am I forgetting? Vikings,
Green
maybe. Green Bay. There's a lot of teams, quote-unquote, in the conversation.
Vikings,
but I think the Eagles are putting themselves in position to be beyond, quote, in the conversation.
Yes.
You know, I understand the respect for San Francisco from an odds perspective. I think the odds, if the Rams win tonight and they're getting healthy, the odds will get shorter. But I think the Eagles are – I really think there's maybe three levels in the NFC to me. There's the Lions and then the Eagles and then there's everybody else to me. I think there's a group, everybody else, and I think the Eagles are above that everybody else group. I don't think they're with the Lions, but I do think that they are above that other group that we're talking about.
Like, you look at it right now, the Falcons.
Why don't you think they're with the Lions?
Because the Lions were there last year, and the Lions have dominated all year. You know, like, I think the Lions are there. They're there until they're not there.
And I'm going to challenge everything.
No. It's fine.
I'm going to challenge everything.
And what I would say.
The Lions don't look like a flawless team to me.
No, I'm not saying they're flawless, but okay. I also think wins like last night that the Lions got are important. When you're not, you know, beating the hell out of somebody and your quarterback is a terrible game, which Jared Goff did, and then you come back and you win that game. That's the kind of game that championship type teams, you know, go out and win when they're not supposed to win. When it looked like, you know, I was looking at the score, you know, halfway through that game, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, the Lions lose this one, and they didn't lose it. So
we'll see if they can carry it all year long.
Yep,
we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
And the Hutchinson loss for them is going to be big.
Yep,
especially if they have to play the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I mean, we've seen what Lane has done against even like Mikey yesterday. Without Aiden Hutchinson, that defense feels like it's missing some pieces.
And I think they need home field advantage to get to the Super Bowl.
That's big for
and
them.
And that's not locked up yet. The one thing why I give the Eagles sort of more than a puncher's chance. I understand what happened last year. That's fine. Everybody wants to go back there. That's not a concern of mine. It wasn't all year, and I think now people have seen enough that they've let it go. I've always thought that this is a different team. It's a different aura around the team. It seemed like the two general principals got their bleep together and got on the same page. Everybody else was fine. Like, everybody else was fine, and now they have a trickle-down effect. This team was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. A lot of players on this offense was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the other teams, sure, you could say Lions NFC Championship game last year. All I'm saying is the Eagles are battle-tested as well.
Sure.
The reason why I don't buy into the Vikings and some of these other teams, they haven't went Washington. They haven't gone into deep water. Man, Sam Darnold has never taken a team into the playoffs and actually done anything. This is Jaden Daniels' first year in the NFL. You know, so I'm like, the Eagles are a seasoned team that knows what it's like to be in there. And it seems like they got their mojo back. And that's why they're starting to roll. And I think, listen, if it's at a neutral site, I think we go blow for blow with the Eagles. I mean, with the Lions.
By the way, that battle-tested thing is why I keep mentioning the Rams. Is that as a team that is battle-tested,
well,
that it is getting healthy? The quarterback is.
Yes, he is.
Well,
the rest of that team is young.
Right. And credit where it's due.
Well, obviously, Cooper. And Cup. Right. Cooper Kupp.
But without Aaron Donald.
The other thing from yesterday, and I know, and this is what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted a day where we're not arguing about the head coach.
Yep.
And there's not now. They were never in situations yesterday. You know, a lot of the 2-point conversion stuff the week before was when they were at the one, and then the fourth down thing. I don't know that there were a lot of fourth and short in Dallas's side of the field yesterday. So he didn't put anybody. But when you look at, we look at the evolution of Jalen to this point and the evolution of Sirianni as well. Mm-hmm. And Jalen has cleaned up the things, or some of them, that we were worried about. And Nick continues. It's not a straight line from, you know, it's not a straight climb from here to there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there will be moments throughout the rest of the year. But I do look at, I know you were talking about forgetting about last year. Mm-hmm. I find a huge.
Well, for me, I have.
Yes.
I know some people haven't. I just know for me, I have.
Well, the thing that has gotten me there is that week in between the Browns and the Giants and going out and dominating the Giants after that. And not just dominating the Giants, but then going to Cincinnati. And we can look at Cincinnati's record, but that's not an
easy
team.
Watch them play the Ravens. You tell me that's an easy team.
Yeah, that's not an easy team to beat. You know, and winning division games on the road as convincingly as they have done in this stretch, I think is not nothing. So I think they have moved past whatever that was last year because they were faced with a challenge again this year where they could have crumbled and they didn't. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles a Super Bowl contender? Angelo in Pottstown, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I'm calling about my concerns about the Eagles and, more importantly, Jalen Hurts. Now, I know you only play who's on your schedule, but I think we would all agree that the teams that we've beaten are not that great. They're not stellar. I mean, it's great to say the Cowboys suck, because they suck. They really do. Yeah. But I need to see Jalen Hurts clean it up. I can't see him fumble. I can't see him throw interceptions in the end zone.
Come on, it was sunny. It was sunny.
Everybody knows it's going to come back and kill you.
Yeah, I will say,
I hope we make it to the NFC East Championship game against the Lions. Because they're represented by a bonehead coach, just like the
Oh boy, you get these two together for a press conference for the championship game. That's going to be dynamite.
Oklahoma drill to the side. Who goes first?
Coin toss.
Yeah,
but Jalen's got to clean it up. I you know, I'm going to be honest. I don't trust him.
Well, it took two callers to get to this.
Yeah,
I didn't think we'd get there this early.
Well, so here's
what his play in the first quarter and a half was concerning to me.
It was.
He sort of reverted back. And I'm not even talking about the turnovers or the interception as much as I am the sacks that he took during that time, where you're just holding on to the football as opposed to throwing the ball, getting it out of your hands quick, or being decisive and taking off. You know, we had the whole protect the ball when you're in the pocket and you're under pressure. You know, that Micah sack came because the ball wasn't protected. I mean, them fumbled. That Micah got on the sack to help set up a score. Thankfully, the defense held, and they only gave up a field goal. That was the only way the Cowboys could win that game yesterday, was by turning the ball over and playing sloppy. And it didn't look good for a quarter and a half. Just keeping it real.
Yeah, it looked
– offensively.
It looked ugly. The worst part of it looking ugly is the feeling that, oh, no, we've seen this before.
Yeah, Lord, here, we back to this.
But this is sort of where I've gotten with Jalen, is that there are a lot of quarterbacks that are like this, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Or not unfortunately. Like, you look at the league and you think maybe there's two or three that you put in this sort of elite category where they are physically skilled, where they have a record of at least regular season success. And I don't think Jalen's as good as Josh Allen. I don't think he's good as Patrick Mahomes. I just don't. But then there's this whole list of quarterbacks where, depending on the week, Jalen can be at the top of that list or the bottom of that list. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a list of quarterbacks that you can win a Super Bowl with, but you're going to have concerns every single week because they are not in that top category. C.J. Stroud's in that list. Jordan Love's in that list. Jared Goff is in that list. There's a lot of quarterbacks in that list. And I think Jalen, we have to criticize him for when he doesn't play well. Absolutely. And that first quarter and a half will be stuck in my mind for weeks. But also, you're probably going to end up having to face quarterbacks that are also not flawless, right? That will make mistakes as well. And he should want to get better, and we should demand the most out of him. But I think I'm just sort of in this realistic place where
you're finally
Jalen,
coming around, Spike, is what it sounds like.
Well, no, it's just I'm not going to expect things that I don't think he is capable of doing. And if the question is, can they win with him? I think they can. I think they can also lose because of him. I think he could have one of those quarters that kills them in a big game. But I also don't think that they can't win the Super Bowl with him there.
And it's okay to come. It's okay to come over.
No. I'm not.
It's okay
I'm not
to
on
come
that
over.
Side. No.
It's okay to come over.
Nope.
He's okay to win. You can win with him as a quarterback. He plays in big games, and actually, most times when he has a big matchup, he usually plays well, and certainly plays well enough to win. I've never been in a game where I'm like, oh, he went into shell shock. He wasn't ready for the moment. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't play terrible, but it's not because the moment was too big for him. He usually plays well enough to win in those games, and what's great now is that he has a complement of talent around him on the defensive side of the ball that, from a coaching standpoint, you don't have to always feel panicked or rushed to try to score every drive. That's what I don't like about the analytics thing. And when I talk about playing complementary football, when you have a team that a defense that can hold a team to 13, 15 points, 16 points, you don't have to be reckless as an offense. That's why Andy doesn't do that stuff. He has a defense. He knows that eventually, as long as we keep grinding and doing what we're doing, either our defense is going to give us a short field or my quarterback is going to make the plays late in the game. With the analytics stuff, it always feels like we're trying to force an issue that doesn't have to be forced just to make it to be validated about how smart they are as a football team. And I don't think it's necessary. We have a defense. They didn't give up a touchdown yesterday. Another game where they didn't give up a touchdown yesterday. They are playing great football. You don't need to do things to put the team in a difficult position.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's why Mike Tomlin does. Like, the teams that play that type, you're going to give yourself more chances than not. In other words, it's okay to win that way. That's just a preferred way to try to win. And it's not saying doing it this way you can't win and have just as much success, because we know coaches that's had plenty of success not doing it that way.
Sure.
That's their preferred way. And that's what it boils down to. This is the way I prefer to win.
Now, Jack, your Jalen opinion, we're going to hold it.
Yeah.
We're going to do it next. Well, I'm not going to make the people wait, but we'll do it next. All right?
Okay.
Are you ready to come over too?
No.
You see, every time I start to inch over, you telling me that I'm over
come
there,
on over.
It pushes me back
come
on the
on
other
over.
Side.
Listen, I'm welcoming. You can come. But it don't mean I'm not going to let you realize things that you said before.
Well,
you got
well, but I still believe the things that I said.
That's okay.
Well,
I don't know how strongly you believe those things now.
We'll see. And we got to see where Jack is, so we'll do that next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Hey, Birds at the Half is back November 20th right here at Chickies in South Philly, benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Details online at 94WIP.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and
it's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
That's right.
Going to New Orleans.
Book the trip.
Yeah.
Get in the car with Hugh, Ike.
I was getting ready to say, why are we playing this? Yes.
Because we're going to New Orleans.
I got it.
You think Jared Goff is going to be the first quarterback in NFL history to take two separate teams to the Super Bowl?
We are.
Woody?
No. Kurt Warner did it.
Kurt Warner did it, yeah.
But it sounded good when I said it.
We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Tonight and every Monday night, 6 o'clock, is the Brandon Graham Show. Then the Players Lounge with Ike and Hugh Douglas and Elliot Shore Parks. This week's guest will be Jordan Mailata, who is eligible to practice starting today, and they could make him he could play on Thursday. He could come off IR on Thursday. So we're hoping that Elliot just pesters him into answering that question about whether he's going to play tonight. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's. Mark's-Jewelers.com. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? Ike, what do you think the vote is at?
Today?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. What do you think the number's at?
I'm going to go 73%.
Dude, look.
Boom!
73!
73%.
On the money.
Where are the haters at?
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, before
I'm not a hater.
Well, you are thrilled. Let me tell you, I can see it. I'm actually concerned about you.
Thank you.
To be honest with you. You are hosting on a Philadelphia sports radio station, the flagship of the Eagles, and I feel a bad vibe from you after games like yesterday. So where are you?
Where'd you get that?
Yeah, I wonder. I could feel it in your text messages last night. I could feel it when I saw you this morning.
Damn, Jack.
Yeah, it's there. So where are you with Jalen, Jack?
Here's where I'm at with Jalen. I've never seen a quarterback have an easier job than Jalen. As long as he doesn't screw it up, which he was starting to do in the first half, they're going to be fine. I mean, we talk about, I think we're going to start comparing this team to 22, and I think rightfully so. You know, that team started to bludgeon teams, you know, for really the whole entire season. Mm-hmm. They don't have Hassan Reddick. They don't have Javon Hargrave, where they're getting to the quarterback all the time. You can make the case everything else on defense is better.
Or at least equal.
Like, you'd probably take, I mean, Bond versus TJ Edwards is a pretty good debate.
That's a toss-up. That's the same guy.
I
love TJ Edwards as a linebacker.
I think I like Nakobe more than I like Kaiser White. In fact, Kaiser White got off to a hot start and then cooled off. I like these corners more, maybe because they're younger and homegrown, but I just – and Bradbury.
Yeah, and Bradbury, they were good.
They were good. But offensively, a huge difference. I mean, Miles Sanders, again, was really good that year. But he went from that to Saquon Barkley.
He wasn't Saquon, though.
I mean, I think Saquon has set the tone in a couple games this year. One was the Giants game where he took the ball and ran the guy over, and I think that set the tone. And then yesterday, it's just stuck out so evidently to me. It's a 3rd-and-6 screen play, looks like a dead play, and the Cowboys defenders are so afraid they're backpedaling.
Oh, I wish he had a score there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. But yeah.
Yeah. Multiple.
His odds are starting to suck. Yeah, his odds are just not good.
I can think of one.
Yeah, for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
But it was such a subtle, great play.
Yes.
It was.
He didn't even look like.
Yeah.
He just, oh, I'm going to spin here.
Split two defenders, make them run into each other.
Yep.
And then basically his first contact, then he drives them like 3 or 4 more yards to the 1 yard line for the tush push.
I really.
On the first down, by the way. First down, tush push. We couldn't wait till fourth down.
And it also shows if you get him the ball in space, like the screen passes do, you get him the ball in space, he's a hard guy to tackle. He's a hard guy to even touch. So as much as we love him running in between the tackles, just as the passing game just evolves a little bit and they're able to week by week get the screen pass going, get the what's it called, the play action going a little bit, the ability to get Saquon the ball in space. First of all, I think there are touches that are going to be less grinding on him physically, but they also put him in a position to make plays like he did with
putting
that
one-on-one with them damn cornerbacks out there. They don't want to tackle him.
Again, he's obviously strong, but I always thought he's more of a finesse guy and watched him in New York.
That's what he looked like.
And he said before the game yesterday, he got the contract and he started feeling comfortable again, jumping over people and, I guess, putting his body more on the line.
Listen.
But also, you want you for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Well, at least two.
Yeah, 14 touches yesterday. I like it.
No.
14? Well, 14 rushes, one catch.
No. Oh, that's what I saw,
Yep. So I thought it was 16 rushes, but whatever it was. It was right around there.
Mm-hmm. Than 20, which is a win.
But less than – it was 30 the week before, so I will take 16.
No fourth quarter touches. Loved it.
Are the Eagles a Super Bowl contender? 215-592-9494. Derek and Paoli, you're on WIP.
How you doing?
What's up, Derek?
So this is the point I was trying to make with the Eagles, right? And I don't want to talk about last year, but I just feel like even with Jalen's turnovers, they kind of like stay together more this year. You know what I'm saying? And that's what gives me like a lot more hope for this year, because like they could have last year, they would have folded up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In that game,
yeah, when they did
you think,
fold
yeah.
up late in the season.
Like, certainly the second half.
Even in the Green Bay game, we had like two early turnovers in the red zone, and like the defense bailed us out. I just feel like the team is like playing for the team. So whatever they had going on last year, like I feel like that is gone now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, and I think you have to give Jalen credit for, I would imagine on some level last year, if he does that, then because he is not the vocal leader that he's been this year, then maybe the players on defense resent it a little bit more than they do this year. I think if they're together and he screws up and he is seen as a leader, they want to fight and make sure that screw up doesn't cost him the game. And that is the advantage of him forcing himself to be more vocal this year.
Wasn't as connected last year.
Yeah.
QB, listen.
Quick, before y'all cut me off.
Go ahead.
Did you hear Steph Joyner this morning on the morning show?
I heard a little bit of him.
So, like, that's kind of where I always been with Jalen. Like, there's other quarterbacks that, like, they definitely look better than him. Like, there's some that are just whatever. But I just feel like when Steph Joyner said, not all quarterbacks aren't going to play great the whole game. Like, that's why they have punters and they have field goal kickers, because – everything ain't going to always go according to plan. But I do feel like we do, I guess because we're here, we are really critical of Jalen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For a lot of other reasons. I feel like some people, I ain't going to say anybody's names, but I feel like some people, they just hate on him because they like attention. Like, if you don't think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, then you just like attention. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say he's a great quarterback, but he's a good quarterback who you could definitely win with. And he has already proven that. And there's guys that put up way better numbers that haven't been where he's already been. You know what I mean? That's the format with Jalen.
And there's something to be said for that. I think, and what I was teasing you about earlier, I appreciate the call, what I was teasing you about earlier, Spike, about you coming over and sort of coming over to this side of things. I think what I was ultimately teasing you about is that I believe you can have – You can put faith in Jalen as our quarterback without having the unrealistic expectations of I need him to hit this benchmark in order for me to view him as one of those quarterbacks I can go win with. I think there's enough evidence out there that you can win with him. But it doesn't mean his game comes without flaws.
Right.
Like, so there's going to be times where what he does in a game deserves criticism. It just is. And I think we got to get over, and I'm not talking about you, I mean those that are quote-unquote pro-Jalen fans, we got to get over being sensitive about people pointing out things that are evident to us. like we got to get over that part of it and not always make excuses. Because I guarantee you that doesn't do him any good. And I'm glad and I also think this, Mike. I think they've coached Jalen different this year than they did last year. And to his credit, he's responded to that coaching as opposed to shutting people down and blocking people out and thinking he knows it all. I love the kid. I've gained trust in him. But QB1 got new money last year, and he was smelling himself. That happens.
Sure.
You go to the Super Bowl, you're young, you get a $250 million extension, you sign with Jordan Brand, you're this place, you're at award shows, you're doing this, you're doing that. And I don't know if everybody felt like he was connected last year. This year he didn't have all that stuff this offseason. And he made a conservative effort to connect. So I say all that to say, when he wasn't playing well earlier, he had earned the trust and respect of his teammates and the support of his teammates, as opposed to they're like, dude, that's you. You fix it. That's right. On you. You fix it.
Yeah, you didn't want to talk to me all year long.
Yeah.
What do I have to deal with you now?
Yeah, so I think that allowed him to sort of get out of his funk. Just like yesterday, they didn't say, oh, here we go again. Turnovers. They weren't deflated. That's why he went up to him and he thanked every defensive player. That stuff builds up cachet with the rest of your teammates. He's making that conservative effort to stay connected to his teammates. He's going to have bad series, a bad play, a bad game. But if you all stick together, you can all overcome it. Or you lose together. Either way, you're together. And that's how we had Donovan's back. That's how we had Donovan's back. We knew every game wasn't pretty. But you weren't about to talk about our quarterback. And we weren't going to call him out or anything of that nature. That stuff didn't start happening until later in his career. Guys that grew with him as a player and knew him from the beginning, we rolled with him. And that's what Jalen should have as a quarterback here. And I feel like that's where it's at now.
Yeah, I think where I would put it is this, and I've compared him to Ben Simmons a bunch.
Yeah.
And the reason being is that Ben Simmons was never willing to acknowledge the things that he wasn't good at. And anytime people pointed them out, and his defenders would do the same thing too, to your point about Jalen, anytime you would point those things out, they would go, hey, he's all defense. Hey, he made the All-Star team. But you would go, I know, but he's the point guard, and he can't shoot free throws, and he can't do this, and he can't do that. And it, forgetting about the fans, his acknowledgement of those things prevented him. And by the way, that attitude that he had publicly, he had privately a lot too. So the players on the team, Embiid would look at him and go, I'm 7 foot one, 275, and I'm standing on the perimeter for you. The least you could do is work on your free throws and acknowledge that maybe you're not. So take that to Jalen. Jalen, and by the way, Ben was never going to be a great shooter. He was never going to be a great three-point shooter. He was never going to be a great free throw shooter, but he could have been better.
Could have been better. Yes.
So getting to Jalen. So Jalen's deficiencies, look, if you made me build a quarterback in the lab, the quarterback would be a better pure passer than Jalen is. If I'm sitting there watching, that's the kind of quarterback I want. But this is the kind of quarterback we have. And to his deficiencies, if he goes from a 3 in those things to a 5 or a 6, that might be enough.
Right.
It's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly what you want at exactly every time. And when he screws it up, you have to point it out because it might prevent them from winning. But if Ben had gone from a 2 or 3 of those things to a 5 or 6, he would probably be a Hall of Famer.
Well, he got Hall of Fame talent without question.
Right.
Yeah, he had Hall of Fame talent.
Right, and that's why I look at Jalen. And, again, is this exactly how I would design a quarterback? It is not. And the things that he's not good at do make me nervous when I'm thinking about a playoff game or a shootout or any of those things. However, we are where we are. He is who he is.
Exactly.
And he has taken steps. And what I would believe today that I might not have believed in week one is that he knows that those two turnovers were bad.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that holding the ball when he held the ball were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that next week he's going to be great at those things, but at least he is aware of them. So there's something that goes off in his head and says, and I think that may have even happened yesterday in the middle of the game, you know, thinking to himself, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here? Because him before that drive at the end of the first half and that drive and after was a different player yesterday.
Here's what's great about the great sport of football. It's the greatest team sport out. And there have been quarterbacks with less ability than Jalen that have won a Super Bowl because they've had a team around them, they had good coaching around them, and those coaches knew the limitations of that player, and they also knew where his areas of strengths were. And they played to those things, and they tried to stay away from other things, and they coached him up on the areas where he has to make the correct decisions at clutch times. And they went on to win titles. It's just look at the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. You can find something where you can say, well, he might be slightly better than Jay because he won, but he ain't have – it's not like he's Patrick Mahomes and this – you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah, not every quarterback that wins a Super Bowl is Tom Brady or Patrick
Mahomes. Exactly.
Now, a lot of times it is, but not every single time.
Well, that's because Brady won a lot of them. Those two won a lot of them.
And the truth is –
but the Bradshaws –
right,
great.
Roethlisberger,
I'm
not even talking about the couple of bad ones that
the
won.
Trent Dilfer and the Brad Johnson,
Nick Foles.
Foles.
Nick Foles.
That's another good example. He got hot. He was great in that game.
But sure.
Talent wise, you mean to tell me Nick Foles is a more talented quarterback than Jalen.
And the truth is
or Tom Brady.
There's only one Patrick Mahomes right now. There's
right.
only one. So every other team's going to have, Eagles included, are going to have to try to win a Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And there's only one Josh Allen. And yeah. every other team's going to have to try to win a Super Bowl without a guy that has every single physical tool you could probably want.
And Lamar's going to prove it.
Yes.
Lamar's about to be a three-time MVP and hasn't done squat down in the playoffs.
Hold off on MVP talk. It changes. Believe me, Jalen was number one at this time last year.
It sure does.
So it changes. I'll say this. That's why I don't complain about the talent we've surrounded him with.
Sure.
That's why I don't complain about that.
Because looking at it realistically. Yeah.
We need it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we need the talent.
Yes.
If we want to win a championship, we need that type of talent.
Absolutely. 215-592-9494. Dan in Atlantic City, you're on WIP. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Dan?
So first thing I want to say is I think we should have a blackout this Thursday.
Oh, why?
Are we doing blackout?
I just think, just like the vibe there when it's a blackout.
It's a night game.
Yeah,
we're not wearing black. You know, that's a real question. I don't
we don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
But this guy, he's calling for a blackout.
Oh, okay.
We know it's not going to be Kelly Green because it's not that. So it could be a black uniform.
I would like a blackout for the division lead against Washington at home night game. I wouldn't mind a blackout.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
So I like the adjustment Kellen Moore made yesterday because, you know, Dallas knows his offense, and obviously they had a plan for him going in. And in the beginning, we looked pretty slow against it, and he made the adjustment, and then we just took over for the rest of the game.
I don't
know. Adjustment.
Was there an adjustment?
They told Jalen to stop turning the ball over?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they got out of the sun?
I think all running quarterbacks are going to hold the ball too long. That's just all mobile quarterbacks will hold the ball too long. You're not going to get over it. And sometimes they make mistakes, and sometimes they don't.
And every guess what? We're going to complain about it when they make mistakes.
Yeah, because when it happens in the NFC Championship game and he holds the ball too long and fumbles.
We're not going to say, that just happens because he's an athletic quarterback. We got to accept that.
I know, but they just try and hold the ball longer so they can make a play with their feet or do something, you know? They all do it. Well,
he had times where he held the ball. He wasn't making a play with his feet. He was just holding the ball.
And the next couple weeks, we got a couple more mobile quarterbacks. We're pretty much facing our offense next couple weeks, so I hope we do good against them.
You and me both, Dan. Yeah, I hope so, too.
Washington offense will be a handful.
Yes. Or the Baltimore offense will be a handful.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Rams, they have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua with Kyren Williams. That's a nice offense, too.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford.
Yep, and I think they're close to top 10 in offense with all those guys getting hurt. So the Eagles are facing three really good offenses in a row. Washington's a really good offense. I think they're top five. Baltimore's number one. And the Rams, I think you can sort of throw out the fact that they have survived the first half of this season has put them in a different category than I think their record shows.
Yes.
And if they play Miami tonight, right? If they beat Miami, that's a real team to worry about.
That'll be one of these hot teams you don't want to face late in
the
season.
Yes. They will be a team that gets it together. Louie in Nebraska, who's not actually in Nebraska, you're on WIP. What's up, Louie?
What's going on, baby?
What's up,
Louie?
Hey, can I get some Ike juice, man?
Oh, yeah. We're back.
Buzz?
There you go, Buzz. They must have been drinking that Ike juice.
It didn't move positions on the board, Buzz.
First off.
We didn't even get through the first hour. Nice try for a flawless game for Buzz, the Jalen Hurts of WIP.
Hey, by the way, since I'm coming for Chuck's spot in the afternoon, I'll just warn Buzz next time I want some Ike juice.
No,
oh,
no,
no, don't do that. Nope,
no,
nope,
no. fellas, I think we are a Super Bowl contender, and here's why. Number one, I feel like Kansas City is what we were last year, and I feel like we are Kansas City this year as far as we're not playing as great, but we're starting to heat up. And the only month that matters in football is December. Now, even though we're in November right now, we're starting to get a little groove. Now, I understand that we're not playing great teams. Ike, when you play Ramblewood, no offense to Jaws, but when you play Ramblewood, that doesn't get you ready for Marion. Okay? That doesn't get you ready for Marion. So, listen, we just need to keep building
our momentum.
You have to pick
that course. There's plenty of other courses.
I understand that, but, you know, Ike is in South Jersey, so I just wanted to get him close to, you know.
Oh, yeah,
I know.
So I just need you guys to get ready and see that we're building up. Now, the X factor, as we all know, is Saquon. I mean, that little loss that he should have had and took it down to the one, that was like, man, Tiger Woods hitting a flop shot over the bunker. Like, golly, now I'm not going to say Saquon's Tiger. But that was like, oh, my God.
Well, he plays a real sport, unlike Tiger.
Spike, do you agree with these the golf assessments?
Yeah. Enough golf comparisons. Holy cow. Why don't you talk about a chess master?
Ike, Spike, this is all part of the segment here. Lou from Nebraska Golf.
Two-thirds of the show really much appreciates it. One-third's a hater.
Not a hater. This is a sports radio show, not a game radio show. Why don't you tell me about esports, too, Louie?
Oh, man. Anyway, I'm excited. These next three out of four games, obviously we can throw away Carolina because they're trying to get the number one.
Hey, man, they're getting hot.
I think they're going to show us what team we have. And I just need Smitty to get more involved, okay, especially early. That's going to open up our deep threat Brown and Saquon. So, listen, I'm really excited. If I could marry a crawfish, I would, because I went to school in Louisiana. And yeah, guys, you're going to take it. So,
all right.
And Ike knows what I'm talking about. You know,
Ike knows what I'm talking about.
Ike does know what I'm talking
about. Speaking of deep
balls.
Love
you, fellas.
All right, Louie.
Speaking of deep balls to AJ.
Yeah.
Seed.
That was a dime.
Seed.
He's got one a game where I'm like, all right.
Oh, yeah. Seed.
By the way,
the one where he rolled to the left. And I got a lot of questions about the whole throwing the ball back across the middle of the field late.
Did it again.
It's a little different, though, this time.
Yeah.
Because he actually set his feet.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he rolled to the left, and he had enough time to kind of set his feet and then hit AJ. He wasn't throwing it necessarily on the move.
AJ, a remarkably quiet, you know, just five catches, 109
yards. 109
yards. Yeah, no big deal.
Monster.
He was weird yesterday. Like, he just wasn't reacting to anything. I couldn't tell, like, what that was. I couldn't tell if he was mad he was injured again or hurt again.
Is he like you, Jack? Is he upset the Eagles are playing well?
Is he upset with the quarterback? Never mind.
Yeah. What
dude, he looked oddly upset all game yesterday. And I couldn't tell. I thought so. It was weird. I thought it was weird. He didn't get up and celebrate at all. He's going to put the ball down.
Yeah, it wasn't the normal AJ visually, but you only really see what the TV cameras are showing you, too. So I don't know. But Jack mentioned that, and I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I didn't see celebrating.
I got to go back and watch it.
Yeah. See, people got to watch the game through my lens.
Yeah. Talk about that, too. So you mentioned Jalen thanking the defensive players. Mm-hmm. We'll actually play that audio for you next. It was after a Jalen turnover, and it was a really good piece of audio. So we will play that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.